Hey, how's it going out there? This is Two Birds, One Show. I'm Dieter, that's my buddy Ricky. And welcome back to the show, David Dininger. How's it going, buddy?
It's going great. It's going great.
So we like to talk about craft beer and sports. We start off with a beer first, and we'll get into some sports. Then we'll go to our second beer, and we'll finish off with some sports. So you want to start us off, Ricky?
Yeah, actually, going to kind of intermingle the two real quick. I know we're going to wait to talk about sports, but I went with this from Treehouse. It's called Orange Sting. That's for my Philadelphia Flyers, who stormed back and managed to get a point tonight. But I'll wait and save the sports talk. But yeah, so it's called Orange Sting from Treehouse. I mean, the nose is phenomenal. I mean, I always say the same thing with Treehouse.
Yeah.
Their home run hitters, the nose phenomenal. It smells a lot like Julius. You know, I'm getting a ton of orange and like an orange sorbet and like a creamy orange. I mean, it's just come on. That's not fair. Yeah. You know, that's a next level beer. Like I said, orange sorbet is best I can say. A hoppy orange sorbet. I mean, it's fantastic. It's about sorry, the lighting out here is not great. It looks like 8.something%. I want to say maybe 8% even. Also, real quick shout out. See my hoodie?
Garage drinker.
Garage drinker. Because I'm always in my garage doing the show. It's freezing. Shout out to Bonnie and Sue who got this for me. Two of the best people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing in my life. Their family. Two of the best human beings in the world. I always can count on them. You know, got my back and much love to them, their fam. And thank you for the hoodie. Awesome.
Oh, that is such a cool shirt. That's really neat. Garage drinker.
That's a new favorite.
There's Bonnie right there. Awesome shirt, man. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bon and Sue. It's fucking dope. I'm a huge fan. You guys are the best.
Anybody that's just new to the show, Treehouse, they're at Massachusetts. Great brewery. I'm going a little local here with Ludlow Water Guns and Rainbows.
Nice.
Promoting Jersey beer with my little Tonewood glass, too. Beer for life.
Jersey and Jersey.
Citra and Mosaic beer, man. You never go wrong with that, man.
Nice.
Any beers that you got there, David? Or, yeah. Try tonight.
it's probably not a good show to be on. I haven't had a beer since
wow.
I'm gonna say that it was the night before the Chiefs Dolphins game in Kansas City. We had a wild card.
Wow, man. Well, dude, that's awesome. You know what I mean? I really have much respect. Man, I have much respect, man. I'm just happy to be back. You're back on the show, man. Last time was so much fun, and it's always so great to talk to you about sports, man.
Yeah. Honored to have you on.
It's good to be here.
So I guess we'll just dive into some sports then. How about that?
Let's do it. All right. Yeah. Speaking of which, I might as well piggyback and circle around to that nice Flyers. It wasn't a win, but we got a point in a game that I thought for sure after the second period, Austin Matthews started lighting it up with a hat trick. I said, oh man, I looked over my wife. I said, well, we're probably going to lose this game, but oh well. But no, this team just doesn't quit. There's no quit. Yeah. They're taking on Johnny Tortorella's persona. There's no die in this team. You know, they're 4-0-1 in their last five. This team's just playing good hockey. They're just team hockey. And you're talking about you're without Tyson Forster, your right winger who's up for the Selke Trophy, you know, and Rasmus Ristolainen, one of our better defensemen. You know, both guys are going to miss time, and they just keep on winning. This team just fights.
Tortorella won't let them give up. That's the best part. No. I mean, they're the hardest working team. Flyers team I've seen in a really long time.
Amen.
And if people haven't been to a game yet this year, I mean, we're lucky enough that we, you know, I'm one of the camera guys there to shoot every home game.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Come and see them because these guys play their butts off every single night. And it's just, you have to admire the work ethic. I mean, they really come out and they play hard every night and they're never out of it. I mean, they could have folded up tonight down 3-1 with Matthews scoring the natural hat trick in the second, and they didn't. They fought back in the third, took it to overtime, and you know, Toronto took advantage of a not a bad line change, but just it just took advantage of a line change in overtime that cost them the game.
And you're right on. I got to agree. This team just they don't quit. You can't count this team out. You just can't. I'm going to ask you, Dave. You said you do only home. Are you going? Are you going to be at the Saturday game, the stadium series, the outdoor games at MetLife?
Yeah,
against Jersey. Yeah, oh, nice.
I'm going as a fan.
Even better, nice.
Even better, man.
Me and my youngest daughter are going up, and we're gonna have a great time.
That's awesome. Man. But yeah, the game tonight, what I've they had the power play and the Flyers scored on them, right? Like we were down a player, we'd still be able to score tonight. Like it did.
You mean a shorthanded goal, Dieter?
Yeah.
That's not a power play.
Well, the Toronto had that.
I'm kidding. But no, it's like our power play. I feel like, you know, we're so good on the penalty kill anymore. I'd almost rather be on the penalty kill. It's weird. I'm just having fun with you, dude.
That's a great. They lead the league in penalty in shorthanded goals, and then they score on the power play late with Konechny tying it up. But like I said, I can't speak highly enough of this team. They're a good bunch of guys. And they really do work their tails off, and they take more of the Philadelphia persona than the other team that plays in that building.
I'll leave it at that. Yes. Well,
they won against a lot of big teams. It was nice to see them win against Seattle, the old Flyers coach there, right?
So yeah, it was that Hextall.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Good point.
It'd be like, I feel like I jinxed them today because I wrote on the subject of this show, Flyers 4-game streak winning, and then lose tonight. But like you said, at least we got a point, So
they're tied for second in the Metro. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
And shout out to Coots. Shout out to Coots being named the 20th captain in Flyers history, and TK and Lawton with the ultimate captains. Coots, well deserved, man. I think he fits perfectly into that role.
That was a good choice. I would say it was either him or TK getting that. And I think they made the right choice.
Well, let's want to move on to something else. You want to go on to the Phillies starting up?
Whatever you want, Dieter. You are the producer, sir. I will follow the lead.
So the pitchers and catchers, right? They're down in spring training now, and I think everybody's going to be down there on the 19th or something like that.
I think so.
Now, do you feel like we made enough good moves in the off season, or?
I hope so. I still have a sneaky suspicion Dombrowski's going to make it. Whether it be Bellinger or maybe Montgomery, I don't know. Maybe I'm wishful thinking, but I feel like there's something up his sleeve. I don't know. Who was that?
Red Dead Online Fun. Hopefully not the coach. All right. I guess he doesn't like the coach, Topper.
Wow. Really?
Huh. I don't know, man. I think he's good, man.
I like Topper. And I also am reading that they're working on an extension with Zach Wheeler, which is awesome. I mean, guy's a stud. He's a top 7 pitcher in the National League every year. One of the better, I feel like, free agent signings in Phillies history. Looks like Brandon Marsh is on pace to be back and ready for opening day, which is a bright spot.
Great outfielder, always good to get on base. I like that kid, man.
Speed, good team guy. A lot of character guys. He's a kind of a spark plug.
I definitely think we should focus on the pitching. So if we could get Zach back and have him in the lineup, that'd be great. I feel like last year that was our downfall, not having pitching. And it would be nice to have a closer that we could really count on. But
And I agree. And good point, because I do feel like Craig Kimbrell is a huge, huge reason we lost that Arizona series. But I will say this, it may be because of the Kimbrell 2 blown saves kind of deflated the team. But I do feel like the bats kind of went dead, in the end. But maybe one relates to the other.
I think that a lot of times I've never seen a team like the Phillies that you either have everybody's hot at one time or everybody's cold at one time. And if you can just kind of find that medium.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, Harper might be cold, but Turner's hot. Or Castellanos is cold, but Harper's hot. And if you could just find that, that rhythm to where you're not all cold at the same time.
And I agree.
How many times last year did we see them, you know, have 15 runs or 15 hits, score 10 runs, and the next day they get one hit?
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point.
And I think they're going to make one more move. I think more move is in the works, but we'll see.
You think it's a bat or an arm?
I don't know. The problem now is all these guys out there now are, you know, everybody out there now, it's a free agents, all Boris guys. And
yeah,
you know, good point. And you know, he's probably the worst thing to happen to baseball in a long time. And I don't think that Harper's not looking for a contract. Harper's very happy with what he's got. It's Boris making this. He wants an extension. He wants to be paid. That Harper's not saying that. That's all his agent saying it. So
I couldn't agree more. And I can't stand Boris, along with many agents in sports. I mean, I know it's their job to be weasels, but I can't stand it.
Yep. Yeah. And he's good
at what he does. I hear you.
Well, I mean, look what we produced. Yeah, you know, we went to the World Series, we went to the playoffs. I mean, hopefully this year, man, we just dialed in and
I don't think they're far away. I mean, think about it. 2 years ago, we're two games away from a world championship. This year, we're four games away from world champ. We're not far away. We're knocking at the door. Now we just need to bust through it. And sometimes the first one, as they say, is the hardest one to win. But I'm not counting this team out by any means. I still think they're the top in the National League. Along with the Braves and a couple other teams, Dodgers, to really, make an appearance in the World Series. So,
right. I mean, and that's the thing with the extra playoff spots now. You don't have to,
right.
If the Braves want to get out to a 10-game, go ahead, let them. It doesn't matter. I mean, as you can see, it doesn't matter. Home field advantage in the baseball playoffs don't mean anything. You saw what the Phillies did last year to the Braves. And
2 years in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, just get to the dance. That's all you
need. Amen. Get me to dance. I'll find someone to dance with.
Play consistent. Get to the dance. And let's see what happens.
Yeah. I felt more preseason. We were all the dogs. Yeah. Fun. Yeah. I mean, well, the last two seasons were so much fun, but I think they had too much fun. Yeah. They're partying
up. You know what? And Dieter, I heard them talking about that this morning. Is that really a thing, though? Because I feel like any chance you get to celebrate, you should. Baseball's a long season. If you get any chance to celebrate, you should not. I don't think that had anything to do with. I don't think they were hungover because there was days in between. And,
right. And you have to do that nowadays with the media on you. You know what I mean? You have to show like they're so happy to get that next spot or whatever. Because if not, you're just a dead team. You know what I mean? There's like no.
I like the celebration.
You have to. Yeah,
I love
you have
it.
To
get the builds camaraderie,
the fan base into it. You know what I mean? Rally the fans and everything. It really. I joke saying like maybe they partied a little bit too much, but dude, you have to do that. You have to rally the fans. Get behind them.
And shout out to
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Me too. Well, celebrate whenever you can in life. Whenever.
No. Hold on. I'm all for when you clinch, when you clinch the National League East in the regular season. Okay, right. Pop the corks. I'm all for when you win the National League. When you win the NLCS. Okay, you're the champions and you're going to the World Series. Okay, it's locker room celebration. And of course the World Series. I'm not all for, we won the wild card round. Let's go, spray each other with beer. We won the divisional series. Let's go spray each other with beer.
Celebrate three out of four rounds.
Yeah, but the problem is all these celebrations, you see them put the banners up in the room. They're all sponsored by Budweiser and
I hear you.
I guess you have to.
I see your point. I see both your guys' points. I'm always of the ilk of in life, anything in life, if you have the chance to celebrate, take it, because life's going to hand you plenty of chances to not celebrate. So, and ain't nobody telling you not to do that, you know. So if I have a chance, anybody, if you have a chance to be happy and celebrate, fucking dive on that shit. But you know, I hear you. Teach your
only for the Pirates, I guess. And never celebrate.
Yeah, that's true. And imagine, you know how bad they want to celebrate. They're probably like, yeah, you know, they're probably watching in Philly's like, oh, I wish. Shout out to Pittsburgh Builder, by the way. I know he's a huge Pirates fan. Watched our show. They suck, Bill, probably, but I'm just kidding. They'll probably be all right this year.
So during the college football season, you still doing the camera man for Notre Dame?
Are
you,
yes.
Nice.
Yes, did the Notre Dame season. You know, was still on, did every Thursday night game on okay. Amazon Prime. Did a couple Sunday night games. And then we did the wild card playoff game in Kansas City, that the game where it was -7 with the -27 wind chill. We did that game.
Dude, how hard is that as a cameraman to be out in that? I mean, are you stacked, layered? Like, how do you not fucking freeze to death?
I had everything I had. I had everything I possibly could wear. I was wearing.
Yeah,
and I was fine. If you're prepared for it, you're good. I was okay. I had, you know, around here where this was the only thing that wasn't covered, because I had ski goggles on, but the condensation got inside of it and froze.
So I had to
pick them up and put them on top of my ski hat. So the only thing that was exposed was my eyes and my nose and the top part of my mouth. And I have pictures, icicles on my eyelashes.
Oh,
my.
Oh shit, man.
It was cold. It was cold, but it wasn't the coldest I'd ever been.
Really?
I did the game a couple years ago, before Minnesota had their new stadium, when they were still playing in the college stadium. They played the Seahawks in a playoff game outside in Minnesota. And it was the high that day was like -4, and it got down to about -7. But it was a day game, so the sun was out. And I was on the concourse where there was a constant breeze. So I didn't have the gear that I have now. You know, this time I had, you know, two pairs of leggings on with a pair of snow pants with a Carhartt over it, with snow boots, with electric socks, with heated vests and
Jesus, man.
Heating pads around my controllers and my camera where I had my hands. I did do the game barehanded, but only because my hands were on top of my controllers that were wrapped with heated blankets.
Oh my God. Shout out to you, dude. That's so
it was cold.
Oh, man. That's
but it was cold.
Oh, you said you do the Notre Dame games?
Yeah.
Did you see the other day, the Eagles sign Julian Aquara, the outside linebacker, was with Notre Dame. He was drafted by the Lions. We just not a huge move, but he's kind of a pass rushing outside linebacker. I don't know if you remember ever doing any of his games.
No, that doesn't sound familiar, but you have to – the Eagles have got to get middle linebackers.
You saw
how far that took San Francisco. You saw what the linebacker position does for the Chiefs.
Agreed.
You need linebackers. You can't just worry about the up front, and you can't worry about the secondary. You need somebody to fill the middle.
I agree. Howie's got to stop ignoring that position. I agree 100%, man. Great point.
Well, Notre Dame had a pretty good season this year, right? I mean, they were doing all right. Their quarterback, the older guy or something like that.
That dude's a player.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing the Eagles.
Is he going into the NFL? Anybody? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
He's going. I
wouldn't mind seeing the Eagles snagging him.
They talked to him. They talked to him on the at the Senior Bowl.
Kind of a stash guy.
He's a good player, but the problem with Notre Dame is, you know, all these teams now with the NIL deals and paying players to come. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much it still goes into it, but you still have to pass, you know, entrance exams and you have to have a certain GPA to get into Notre Dame. So at that point, you can't keep up with the Alabamas, the LSUs, and the Georgias who are letting anybody walk in the door that could
throw football. Great point. Great point. And you know what, Dave? I feel like that's killed Notre Dame for the last 35 years. I mean, it is such a prestigious school, but you're right. They still hold their players to standards. They're not letting in just a bunch of boneheads that are really good. You know, we'll have somebody pass your class. You actually got to have, you know, a legit, you know, GPA to play on that team. Like, they're not just pushing guys through. And no offense to Alabama or whoever, they're all great programs, but it's or Miami or whoever. But a lot of these guys, you know, those motherfuckers aren't going to class. You know, damn right well. But we also know they're going to be first or second round picks, and they're going to bring in money for the school. But I think it hurt Notre Dame.
Watch an interview with Kadarius Toney. What does that say for the English department at the University of Florida? So, you know, these guys that get pushed around, I understand that. I mean, they're there to play football. That's their job. You know, and it's you could see it when they're done. You know, when some of these guys are done their junior year, they leave school and they go to get ready for the combine.
Yeah.
Don't they have a semester at school left still to go through? But that's why they're there.
Great boy.
That's why they're there. They're there to play football.
Yep. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if I had that ability and I don't begrudge those guys for anything when they're getting
not at all.
They're there for a reason, and I wish I was able to be there for a reason like that.
Amen.
I wasn't quite good enough.
Listen, I agree. I never fault the athlete because it's like you're there. It's almost like if you're going to school to be an electrician. And you're such a great electrician. This big company's like, oh, we want to bring you on before you finish it, wherever. And of course, and nobody's going to say a word. They're like, great job, you know. For the same for the athletes, man. If you're that good, and you know, you're there for that reason to get to that next level. And everybody, I agree.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, I love watching college football, and I've been watching college wrestling. Friday night fights on the Big Ten network. Oh man,
Penn State. Wrestling in the country.
Penn State's like number one, and they're wrestling Iowa State last Friday. Oh my god, dude, it was a battle, and it's so crazy now because, like, you know, wrestling in high school, you know, you run to the mat, you wrestle. Now they got like flames going out. It's almost like a little bit of like WWE ish. It's crazy, man. Yeah.
Peter, let me ask you, as a big college wrestling fan, do you feel like Big Ten wrestling's the best in the almost like the SEC of football that are in college football? Is Big Ten that for wrestling?
Yeah, you got Iowa Hawkeyes are huge wrestling. I think Nebraska is huge. Rutgers is pretty decent.
Penn State's really good too, right? Yeah,
and Penn State's number one, man. Penn State's
nice.
They were killing it last year too. My brother is a big wrestler, wrestled in high school. So we go over there and drink a beer and watch it Friday night. It's pretty neat. Check it out. It's 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, man. It's pretty cool.
I'm going to check it out. That's awesome. Thank you for the info. That's fucking awesome. How's Michigan in wrestling? You know, I'm a big Michigan fan. I'll be honest. I don't know much about the wrestling. Too, are they good?
Any
Ohio State, we know that.
I'm not an Ohio State guy.
my best friend's a big Ohio State guy, man. So how ironic is this? Ryan Day's assistant is now Chip Kelly. When Chip Kelly was in Philly, his assistant was Ryan Day.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Never thought about that.
That's pretty wild.
Well, something's happening at Oregon. You don't leave a head coaching job to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere unless the NCAA's knock on your door with
great point.
Here's your sanctions we're giving you.
Yeah, good point.
Why would you leave? I mean, they're getting ready to jump into the Big Ten next season, and he leaves a head coaching job in the Big Ten to go become an OC. Something's
rotten in Denmark.
Yeah,
Chip should be arrested for murdering our team back then.
What is it? You gotta read these. I can't see these.
Chip should be arrested for murdering our team back then.
He's right. And I'll tell you this, Dieter, I don't know if you remember, but I was not a Chip Kelly fan when they hired him. And I know. And then listen, I fell for it. The fool's gold when he came out and they lit it up against Washington. I was like, oh, wow, maybe it's something different. But I should have realized the NFL will catch up to you real quick. And they did. Yeah. And it feels like almost a Mickey Mouse kind of gimmick offense. I don't know. He's a great offensive mind. I don't want to bury the guy. I'm just glad he's not here anymore. The guy seemed like a real fucking douchebag. Sorry. I don't mean – I know I'm trying to watch the language.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dude, he gutted our team, man. He got rid of
He traded Deshaun and Shady, who both might end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it was like – good job, Chip. He brought that college mentality to the NFL. It's like, you know, you should be playing this or that. If you're a star football player, you can play wherever you want, man.
You can't treat them guys the same as the college guys. Oh, be in bed by 8:30. What?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, having these guys weigh in and weigh in every day and wear sleep monitors and
like,
they're grown men.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You can't tell them what to do.
Right. They're making more than he is. A lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hear you. And Dave, I think you make a great point. Something's about to happen to you. You say that's why he dipped out of there to go be an assistant to his former assistant. You know something's coming down.
Or if they go and get waxed again by Michigan, maybe they'll fire Day and hire Chip Kelly.
Yeah, great point.
He may be looking a little bit ahead.
That's a good point too, sir. That is a great point. And guess what? They are going to get waxed by Michigan again. So get ready, Ohio State. Chip Kelly's your next head coach. Napoleon himself.
Now, how do you feel like Harbaugh going to be in the Chargers, man?
He's done great everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
He comes from the football lineage.
But wasn't he up in the NFL before? He didn't do so well.
And he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl and damn near beat his brother if the fucking lights didn't go out. I think that threw the whole game asunder.
Yeah, that was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I remember that game. I think he'll do good. I think the Chargers are that team that was a coach and I mean, their defense is good. Their offense is good. Herbert getting hurt this year hurt them. I think the Chargers are going to be right there next year. I really do.
I dare – my bold prediction, I know it's February, and I'll flip-flop 87 times on everything I say from now to then, but I think the Chargers win that division and dethrone the Chiefs and give them their first non-division win and since Andy's been there. Because you still have Austin Eckler stud. Justin Herbert's a stud young quarterback. Has already, I think, passed for 5,000 yards once in this league. I think the future's bright. Jim Harbaugh, everywhere he's gone – as flourished as even when he started San Diego in college, you know, and then going to San Fran, taking them to the Super Bowl and going to Michigan and winning national title there. I mean, the guy's a great head coach. I mean, his dad was a great, his brother, it's in their blood. You know, they're like the fucking, the Sanders of football, like Deion and his son, you know?
Yeah. I think they're going to, I think that AFC West is going to be really good next year.
I think the Chiefs, their time's not up, but their time's up, I think, as a division winner. I think they're finally going to break that. Real quick, too, shout out and thoughts and prayers to everybody at the Kansas City parade where some asshole opened fire on people. Much love and thoughts and prayers to everybody out there, man. That's horrible. That should never happen. You should never have to worry about going to celebrate your team's win and some stupid shit like that. Thoughts and prayers. God bless to everybody involved.
Did you see what happened?
I read.
It wasn't anybody just shooting into the crowd. It was four guys in a dispute that started shooting at each other and didn't hit each other. They hit everybody around them.
Oh my god!
That's horrifying. Horrifying. Yeah,
this wasn't some moron on top of
right. It did right, and they were juveniles, right?
Yeah, it was just they
were under 18. These fucking boneheads. Yeah.
And they ran into each other and just pulled their guns and started shooting.
There's so much I want to say. I don't want to put our show on that platform because there's so much I want. But I will say this: thoughts and prayers to everybody injured or lost anybody or just trying to. Your thoughts and prayers to all you. God bless. And I hope we never have to see anything like that ever again. That's
the one dude tackled to get one of the shooters or something like that, man. So that's a really heroic.
Well, did you see this thing where Andy Reid was consoling the one person? Like, Andy's like, hey, you know, he's like, I mean, that's why I love Andy. I wish he would have won a Super Bowl here. But I hear things like that where Andy, you know, he's consoling somebody and just breathe, just breathe. It's okay. It's going to be all right. I mean, much love, kid. God, he can't not love Andy. Even though he beat us in the Super Bowl and didn't win us one.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
He's a great guy, man. It just, he is. When he was here, we just didn't get anything out of him, man. Like, his personality. He's
the winningest coach in Eagles history.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, at the end of the game, when they would talk to him, he'd just be like, yeah, we got to do better next time.
Didn't people bury Nick Sirianni for saying too much and Andy not saying nothing? That's, I think, sometimes a problem with this fam. Like, I'm mad at you because you don't talk enough, but now I'm mad at you because you say too much. During this football season, I just want to vent. I got a quick Ricky rant. Real quick. You know, and it wasn't because of this, but I'll say this. People I listen to all year say when the Eagles are 11-1, they're winning ugly. They're not beating anybody. And I don't mean this literally, but the football guy said, oh, you don't like to win ugly? I'm going to show you what it's like to lose ugly. Watch this fucking claps. Hold my beer. So, listen, Eagles fans, all of us, you can't bitch and moan for everything. You can't be damned if you do and damned if you don't. No, Andy don't talk enough. Nick talks too much. We're winning ugly. No, we're losing ugly. We hate you. We love you, but we hate you. Like, you can't. I'm sorry. Rick rant. It's over.
There you go. There's the Ricky rant for today.
Yeah, I'm backed up. No, I'm just kidding.
A win's a win to me.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. When we're sitting 11-1, I'm hearing all these people bitching. I'm like, I love it. We're 11-1 after a Super Bowl year.
It was so bad this season. Like, oh, man. We should have lost that game, or I don't know how we won this game.
No, Peter, none of us were like that, though. I was the one over here telling everybody, quit your fucking bitching. The football, they're going to hear you. They're going to hear you. Be happy with what you got.
There's not a PW or a UW, a pretty win or a ugly win. Listen, it's just a win, man.
Shout out to my boy, Craig. Dude. He was in the bar earlier. We're rapping. All wins are beautiful. I've never seen an ugly win. I don't know what an ugly win is. I don't. Because every time a win happens, I feel so great. And I think, wow, I'm glad I don't feel that other way. Yeah. So wins are all in life and in sports. All wins are great. There's no bad wins.
Shit. Yeah. This season was so bad with that, though, man. Everybody was complaining. Like,
no, but not everybody. Not everybody. Go back and watch all our – I wasn't. I was telling everybody, be happy. At least we're not the fucking whoever you want to name this a bad team. I can't think right now. But,
I know. Oh, man.
I don't know. Listen,
I don't know what happened at the end, though, man. It was just so bad, dude. That was apart, the football man.
Universe saying, you guys don't like your ugly wins. I'm going to give you some ugly losses to close your year out. See how you can see which one you like better. So when next year comes, when we're sitting there at 10-4, but we barely won, you'd be like, oh, I love this season.
Now, do you think, like, switching the defense coordinator, do you think that had a big?
Yes. Yeah. Both moves.
That was a bad move they made.
Listen, I love both moves. And you'll see once we're a few games in, five games in, eight games in, you're going to be like, yep, I see the difference. Because everybody wanted to bury Nick. And I get it. When you're the head coach, you get all the praise and all the blame. Nick's a great leader. And Jason Kelsey said, this is the best coach I ever played for. And he played under Andy.
No, I'm saying last season when we switched mid-season to coordinators.
Well, that was a panic move. You should have never done it. Just let the side ride it out and fire him at the end of the year. But look, it is what it is. You know, it was a panic move. It really was. And I think they kind of fessed up in the postseason or, you know, after-season press conference.
There's not you could have done. You know, you can't step in a coordinator mid-season be like, yo, hey.
Let me ask you something. When something, and Dave too, when something like that goes down too, and I get it. I know the higher up you rank, you get blame or praise. But I think I was watching those last six, seven, eight games, and I'm like, yeah, maybe some of this is on the D coordinator or O coordinator, but like, damn, you guys are pros. You know how to tackle. I watch guys making business decisions over and over again. I can't put that on the coaches, man. Like, these, I saw a lot of guys quit, man. And that I can't stand for it. I saw guys just didn't care. I don't want to start naming names, but I watch you use Olay so many. You guys know how to tackle. You're at the highest level. You learn that in midgets. So I can't put that on the coaches. I'm glad both the coordinators are gone, but some of the shit I saw, I'm like, this is soft and weak, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, that tackle was so bad. Okay, yeah,
I think the offensive coordinator had to be changed.
Agreed.
There was no rhythm. There was no creativity. There was no flow. There were too many three and outs. There were too many, third and 10 or third and 12, and you're running a
bubble screen.
You're running screens, or something just wasn't right. And
you're right.
To get a guy,
Brian Johnson was qualified for the job he had.
He got bumped up because he was the quarterback coach. He was,
and he knew Jalen.
Right, he had a relationship with him, so maybe it was a look. We'll try this out for
you. Yeah, we'll give you a favor.
Didn't work. They got a guy in there that's a true offensive coordinator now that
probably
has some creativity, and we'll see where it goes. But you know, the guy's worked with really, really good quarterbacks. He's worked with Prescott, he's worked with Herbert. So let's see where it goes.
And Dave, I agree too. And I wanted to, I don't know if it was a show or two ago when he first got hired, and a couple other people I talked to on a regular basis. Bond and them. I said when they first hired him, I said, I'm going to wait and before I put an opinion out. Vic Fangio, I was like, I like the hire. He's a lifer. There's nothing he hasn't seen or done or no. So I like that. I get that hire. And I was like, I'm going to reserve judgment on Kellen Moore. So I did my homework and I looked into it. I'm like, number one, the 3 years or 4 years or whatever he was in Dallas, I remember him hanging like 45 on us every fucking time we played. So number one, I'm glad he's not doing that to us anymore. Two, he knows the ins and outs of Dallas. So that's a really good thing too. So that's going to help me play. Not only that, but look at in 2022, his last year in Dallas, his quarterback was number one in the league against the blitz. What killed Jalen Hurts this year? The guy couldn't read a blitz. Couldn't read a blitz. And I think Kellen Moore is going to take Jalen Hurts from being where, look, Jalen, we know you're a great athlete. Now I need you to be the smartest guy on the field. I need you to be cerebral and dissect the defense in the 3.5, 4.5. And I think Kellen Moore is going to help that a lot. I really do.
I think so. I think also they need to if he doesn't see anything right away, he's got to do what he did last year, which was tuck it and go. Now, I know he was hurt this year, so it's probably hard for him to do that because we all know there was something wrong with him.
Yeah, something was going on.
He's hurt. So, you know, get some rest. Get whatever he needs done to his knee done. Come back next year and don't think about that stuff. If you don't see what you got and there's an opening, just take it. Just go for it.
Even if it's a 4-yard scamper, give me 4.5 yards, get out of bounds, and let's live the fight on 2nd and 6.
Exactly.
You know. And another thing I want to say too, I like a lot that Kellen Moore lines his quarterbacks under center a lot, and he does a lot of pre-snap motion. You know, kind of gives the defenses a different look, starts to confuse them a little bit. I don't think we saw enough of that this year. Listen, Jalen, I know you can run out of the quarterback and that college style offense, but get under center, man, and especially on run plays. You know, I'd rather my running back not be 9 yards in the backfield to get me 3 yards, because now you have to go fucking 12 yards to get me fucking 3 yards.
Yeah, I never
get the guys under center and just fucking pound the rock.
Yeah, third and one, third and two, and
shotgun. I'm like, what the?
I mean, how many times was, other than tush pushes, when was he under center? Was he ever?
Never. I mean, I can count on one hand the times I remember. And so I'd like, just to circle back, I love this Kellen Moore hire. I really do. And I think,
shotgun formation.
Yeah. They became predictable.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. I don't know. Who was that?
Red Dead Online. I think it's, our buddy, Joe.
Well, Joe, good point, man. Great point. What was it?
It's Dave's buddy Joe DiNicola.
The legend himself.
Yeah, just a ball breaker, man. Because I told him we were going to do the show tonight, and his favorite game is Red Dead Redemption. So.
Yeah, you should have him on as a guest one time.
I tried to, man. He's a good, he knows his sports. He's big on the Phillies, man. That's why he was giving a crap about Topper. You don't like him for some reason. I think Topper's a great coach, man.
Well, you know, Dieter, there was a lot of people here that didn't like Andy when he was here. I mean, remember the fire Andy chants in the crowd towards the end there? And now
but that goes back, like I was saying, man. I think Andy's personality at the Chiefs is totally different than what he was in here, man.
Let me ask you, man, do you think he learned here and said, I gotta change, maybe? It's almost like second marriage or whatever. You get a second chance, like, okay, I see what I did wrong here where I fucked up, but don't let me do that there. You know what I mean? You know what I think killed him here? And I'll shout out to Bonnie. Me and her were talking about earlier. I think here with Donovan, he refused to tailor his offense around Donovan and more said, Donovan, do it my way. It's my way or the highway, and all the quarterback. Where now he got an offense with Pat Mahomes and he said, I'm going to tailor it around your strengths and make it work for you as opposed to make you work my offense work. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we also have Mahomes. You know what I mean?
That's what I was saying. But I think he towers that offense around Mahomes. I think he plays it to his strengths. I mean, that is the perfect offense for him now.
He's gotten some great players on that team. You know, Travis Kelce's doing killer job, dude. And I thought, man, this Super Bowl was going to be great. You know, have two of the best. Yeah, it was. Yeah, two of the best tight ends, Kittle versus Kelce, man. Like,
the Red Cowboys lost. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Sam Fran, when I say that shit. You're the fucking Cowboys of the West Coast. Can't stand you. Fucking crybabies.
I wasn't sad to see them lose.
Me neither.
I'm tired of that act. I'm tired of that act.
Yeah. Fucking crybabies.
The whole thing was, you know, we would have won last year if Purdy didn't. I mean, come on. I mean, it wasn't a cheap shot.
It was a clean hit. You tried to line a tight end up to block fucking Hassan Reddick, and he ate him for lunch and beat your quarterback down. You know,
that was just a freak injury.
Yes, right. And I'm gonna say this: did anybody look at Jalen Hurts' numbers in the Super Bowl last year compared to Brock Purdy, the new Golden Boy League's numbers in the Super Bowl? People need to stop burying Hurts. Hurts had one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time.
No, it goes down statistically as the best.
Yeah. Now, Jeff made a point earlier about the Niners firing their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Steve Wilkes.
That's crazy. You know, how do you go to the Super Bowl?
That's what happens. Look, we lost. We fired both of ours. Somebody's got to pay.
That guy should not have been fired.
But no, he shouldn't. And he'll get a job right away.
I thought the whole game, man. No openings.
Somebody's going to take him on their staff. Doesn't get into DC, but he ain't going to be jobless for long.
No. He'll end up on a staff as a
senior advisor or something to that.
Defensive consultant.
Yes.
Now, I thought he was doing a great job putting pressure on Mahomes, man. Like, his jersey was all greened up. It looked like, you know, they were getting him. But then when it came overtime, they're playing more of a prevent. You know what I mean? They weren't putting pressure on them, which was working. You know, it was a totally flip. And I don't know why
they said. Ray Rhodes had one of the greatest lines ever. He said, two things in this league will get you fired: potential and a prevent defense. That's the truth. I hate the prevent defense, dude. I fucking hate it.
I could not believe they were doing that in the overtime, man.
Actually, I think Joe came up with this. Joe used to tell me the prevent defense prevents you from winning.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put pressure on, especially Mahomes. Like, I know he could, like, you know, scamper, you know, get past some of the – but
you got to stick with what was working.
Yeah, right. That's it right there, man. You got to stick with what was working.
And if it broke, don't fix it, man. That's what the prevent, you know what the prevent defense is? It's the anxiety of defense. It's like, well, everything's working real good, but I don't know. What if it goes wrong? Just stick with what got you there, man.
Yeah.
You dance with who brought you.
And the whole confusion of what the overtime rules were, like, that was crazy.
I'm just glad Sam Fran was confused by fucking you guys.
What the
I'm glad
hell?
You lost. I'm glad why, they lost.
Why would you take the ball first? And then why would you kick a field goal, man? You're like, you're right there, dude. You got to go for it.
If you're San Francisco, I mean, going back to them firing Wilkes, I mean, you look at the season that they had, getting to the point where they had, and they were a couple plays away from winning the Super Bowl. I just know, you know what? I'm rolling with the same crew next year.
That's where I'm with the Phillies right now. That's where I'm with the Phillies right now. Yes, I agree, Dave. That's where, like, listen, I know we didn't get there, but you're really close. Don't shred the whole paper that you wrote the formula on. You're really close.
Yeah.
Dave, I want to ask something real quick. What was your thoughts on the Travis Kelce, Andy Reid interaction on the sideline?
I don't know. It looked really disrespectful to me.
Yeah.
I think if he does that to another coach, first of all, Andy Reid's going to go down as one of the top three coaches in NFL history.
Amen.
And you almost knock him over.
Guy's 70 years old.
I think if it wasn't the Super Bowl, I think Kelce would have never seen the field again.
Agreed.
But if you look at the end of the game, Andy jumps on one of the guys on the ground. You know what I mean? Like Travis didn't hurt him. He didn't mean to hurt him.
You can't do that.
I get that. Unacceptable. That's unacceptable. I get that.
The guy's passionate, and Andy brought him up in this team. You know what I mean? He's been his coach this whole time. I think they have a close relationship.
Even more reason why you should be respectful of the man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying what he did was right, but I'm not gonna, like, you know, I don't know, man. Kill the guy over this thing.
All Andy's years because, here, like, in Kansas City, have you ever seen anybody else do that to him?
No, it would never happen. No, it would never happen.
Or in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
What would happen if Gronkowski did that to Belichick?
Oh, kidding me? He's gone.
Yeah.
Hut slip. Yeah. I'm making an example. I'm setting a precedence. What if
Laporta does that to Dan Campbell?
Did you see Dan Campbell's comment after that?
No, I didn't.
He came out. Oh, I don't know if you're on Facebook. If you are, Dieter, take it from my page. He said, and now I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I wish that punk ass motherfucker would have did it to me. I would have whooped his ass so bad. I'd send him back up to Taylor Swift. And I was like, yes, this dude fucking gets it. Let me ask you, do you think Travis Kelce would have done that to him? Nope. You know why? Because it was a bully move. Andy Reid's 70 years fucking old. Show some fucking respect, man.
But after it happened,
my grandpa on the sideline, and be like, I'm this motherfucker.
After it happened, Andy fucking addressed the situation. You know what I mean?
Because he's a class act and he's a leader.
I know. I don't want to
hate Travis. I'm just disappointed.
Right. It's not a good look, and it ain't good that he did that. But I mean,
on the biggest stage in front of the world, you embarrassed the man.
Right. Well, you cannot say that football is not a passionate sport.
That's not what I'm saying. What I mean? That's not what I'm saying. You can't have and you're right.
Yelling one without the other,
once you
man.
Put your hands on somebody, it's a whole different thing.
I don't think he really pushed him. You know what I mean?
He grabbed him up by the arm.
Yeah.
Like he was disciplining his teenage son for acting out like a punk. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I don't like the thing that he did, but I mean, I'm not going to, like, drag the dude across
courts. I forgive him. I don't hate him, but I'm just fucking disappointed.
Yeah. Andy's got back-to-back Super Bowls. Yeah, you know I mean,
how many? 3 in 5 years.
How many people could say that?
None. And think about it. He's not far from Shula's all-time win record, I think, right? I mean, he coaches another 5 years. I think he probably breaks it. He's winning double-digit games like it's going out of style.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
He's the Bill Belichick of now.
me see.
Wish he was still here. Just kidding. I love you, Nick Sirianni.
Now, I mean, I don't like Mahomes. I hate his personality, but the kid is a player.
He's just
man.
A winner, dude. He is a winner, man. You can't kill him. The Chiefs and Mahomes are the horror movies of the 80s. They're the Freddy Kruegers, the Michael Myers, the Jason Voorhees. You think they're dead, but they ain't. They just keep coming back.
Andy Reid is 70 wins behind Shula.
Okay, so 70 wins. He averages 10 wins a year. He's averaging, I think, 12, right? So I think if he coaches six more, maybe seven, I think he's got a shot. Where's Belichick at? Belichick's got to be ahead of Andy, right?
Belichick is 16 behind Halas, and he's 26 behind Shula.
Okay. Okay, so I think Andy has a shot. Now, I think a lot of that will depend on the health of Mahomes and, you know, and Kelce and some of their big guys.
Well, put it this way. You say he needs 70 wins. How good of a coach is Sean McVay?
I think he's a good, really good coach.
How many wins do you think Sean McVay has?
All right, let me ask you. How many years has he been in? Five?
2017.
Okay, so 7 years, I'm going to say he's probably around 60 wins, 65.
He's got 70.
70? So
he basically needs as many wins as McVay has since he started his career to catch Shula.
Okay, I could definitely see that. Definitely see that. Because right now, I mean, what's KC winning on average in the last 5 years? 13 games a year in the regular season? Even on the 16-game schedule, I think they were winning 12 or 13 a year.
I don't think Reed's going to be around that long.
No? What's he, 65?
He's 65. He'll be 66 next month. So,
how old was Carroll this year when he just left?
Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Hold on. I got it right here.
But, you know, he didn't want to leave. You know what I mean? He still wanted to coach.
Carroll's 72.
Okay, 72. So he's 72. I put Andy kind of on his trajectory. That's right around there. And if he gets close, you know that KC's going to just keep him around until he gets there. Just so they also get that kind of banner up in their fucking showcase.
It's going to be tough, man. Another 5 years and 12 wins. 6 years and 12 wins. That's tough, man.
Yeah, but like I said, if he gets close, Kansas City as the organization is going to say to him, hey, we're going to keep you around. To you. Because, listen, that's going to also reflect well on them and put in their trophy case. And don't think that, you know, that's a thing. And that anything that's going to kind of create more atmosphere or money for your organization, they'll probably do.
So a little beer break. My second beer is a Freaky Friday, Top of Goliath and Other Half. I'm a big fan of Top and Goliath. They're out in, Idaho?
Decorah.
And then Other Half is New York, man. Such a great beer, man. What's your second beer you got there, Ricky?
So, Dieter, I got a juice project from Treehouse, Citra. I am, in fact, a Citra hop whore. It's like Citra is like the hop that fucking – pop my cherry, dude. It was my fucking took my V card. I love Citra hops. I know I love Galaxy and the New Zealand hops now, but Citra was the first Always love Citra. And this beer is fucking next level. Nice. Dude, look at this.
Oh, it's beautiful, man.
Oh, by the way, that beer you're drinking right now, shout out to Raj. He's holding two cans for me that I'm going to pick up tomorrow. I can't wait to try it.
Phenomenal. Did
you get a Bobcat?
Yeah, I got a Bobcat. And it's, broccoli from Other Half's recipe, but Top on Goliath is brewing it. And I love Top on Goliath, man.
It's the Freaky Friday edition, right?
Yep.
Nice.
So good.
I just looked in the fridge. I have a Modelo in there.
Nice.
I think it's left over from a party we had over the summer.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. I was so happy to have you on the show, Dave.
Dude, I was so glad that you were coming on. Dieter told me, and I texted, what was my text? I was like, Dave is a cool dude, man. I was like, this is, you know, good shit.
Well, thanks.
Real quick, we didn't really talk. I just want to throw this in because if it, the show ends up ending, but we didn't talk a lot of 76ers. But I do want to bring up
the fact, hop on.
Getting Buddy Hield, I think the Sixers quietly of the people available in the trade deadline won. I think he was the best player to get traded, and the guy does more than I thought. He was just a 3-point shooter. This guy does a little everything. I saw him running the floor and driving the lane. That guy's a player, man. He said 34 3-pointers he's attempted in 3.5 games, and he made 17 of them. It's 50% shoot. I mean, last night was a heartbreak. They should have beat Miami, but whatever. You had a huge win in Cleveland, who was the hottest team in the league, and winning 9 in a row. That was one of the funnest games I've watched in a long time. And that's a character. That's a confidence win. That brings confidence. And Lowry's going to be here after All-Star break. This team isn't far away. I know it seems bad right now. We've lost like 8 out of 10, but this team's about to come around, and I think they're going to make some noise now and when Embiid gets back.
Well, you have to worry about Embiid when he gets back because
I always worry about.
He's not going to be in any kind of shape. It's not like it's not like he hurt his shoulder where he could still rehab and run and all that. I mean, yeah, it was a great point. It was a knee.
It's a great point. So
I've got tons of friends that are Sixers fans. The thing that worries me about him is when you think about it, if say they bring him back with 5 games left in the regular season and he plays 3 of them, then let's just say they make it to the NBA finals and every series that they play up to that point is 6 games. When was the last time you saw Joel Embiid play 24 consecutive games?
It's rare. I mean, it's a great point you make. I can't fight that point a little bit. And I wish it wasn't that way. I really do.
It's freak injuries that take him out.
I know.
He gets kneed in the face by his own guy.
Knee. Breaks his fucking orbital bone and shit.
Yeah, true. Had the mask on for a while.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
It's crazy. The guy's got the worst luck.
His knee was bothering him right before this injury. So this is like a different injury than what was bothering him.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
It's the meniscus. And to be honest with you, with some players, now maybe not 7'2", 350-pound guys, some players, this is not a very long injury. This is not like, oh, my God, it's a career ender. A lot of players will come back a lot quicker than this. Now, I get it. He's 7'2", 300-whatever pounds. And I get it. Take your time. My big thing, though, that I want to see right now that I think would be almost a catapult for this team is while he is out, once you get Kyle Lowry and Buddy Hield and Tyrese Maxey and some of these guys playing and get a gel to it and really get rolling and learn how to win and win consistently with that team, which they can – then I think if you start rolling like that, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, here's Embiid too. Is that almost like a Walt Frazier, New York Knicks, Madison Square Garden coming out like, hey, well, we learned how to win without him, and now we got him too. Could it be something that makes the snowball grow big and ride you through the finals?
I mean, they can win without him. They got a talented team.
I watched that game in Cleveland the other night, and then that night that Cleveland was playing the best basketball in the league that night. And the Sixers went in there undermanned, not just by Embiid. You had no Tobias Harris, no Robert Covington, no Nico Batum. I mean, and they went in undermanned and played a fucking – they, you know what they look like? The Flyers. They're like, you ain't going to be this. There's no quit, lay down and die. Now, if they can start to develop that character and become that, this team's going to become really dangerous.
Yeah, that Nurse is the best.
He's a great coach
in a long time.
He's a great, great, great coach.
You know, I don't know what Lowry's going to bring to you.
He brings leadership.
37 years old, man.
I'm not asking him to be Michael Jordan. I think he brings leadership. This guy's a 1 NBA title. He was at a stud college program, played on a lot of winning teams in the NBA. This guy, I think, brings knowledge and leadership, which for guys like Buddy Hield and Tyrese Maxey is huge.
Right. One thing I do like is that he's from Philly and he's coming back to Philly. So hopefully, you know, he has that pride in him that he wants this team to win.
Well, the guy is a winner, though. He is a winner. I mean, look where everywhere he's been. Like, right, I'm not asking Kyle Lowry to come in and score me 21 points a game and dish 14 dimes. Come in and give me leadership. Give me a floor general that's just going to come out there and be my quarterback. That's really, you know, be a game manager. And I think he is that. And I think he's been so in so many winning programs. I think that that's just who he is. And I think it's a great addition.
He's only played in 37 games this year.
Right. And listen, if anybody's expecting him to come in and be an offensive juggernaut, that's not what's going to happen. He's just going to come in and help be a leader.
Right. What I thought was kind of weird, why was he going to the Hornets? Like, what was that about?
That's the NBA with buyouts and expiring contracts. Dude, the NBA is so intertwined with the reason why guys end up certain places. I mean, you have to really get in and dissect the way the salary cap works and expiring contracts and buyouts and this, that, and the third. So, yeah, you got to look at a lot of that. And the NBA is fucking weird like that. It's the only league that is that intertwined and interwebbed like that.
I don't understand. I don't understand some of the stuff that they do.
And me too.
With buyouts, and then a guy gets, you know, traded, and then he's immediately released, but he can't go back to the team that traded him. And then, you know, you can you can sign your own guys to over the salary cap.
Right. Yeah. What is that called? The Larry Bird rule?
Yeah, but you can't sign a free agent. And I don't understand the rules of the NBA.
Agreed, really David.
I shoot all the Sixers games, but I really don't follow the rules.
I'm with you, brother. I know exactly what you mean. It's so fucking intertwined, and it's like a spider web, the fucking NBA. Salary cap and circumvention.
Well, we hit that hour, Mark. If you guys want to hit anything else?
Well, real quick, I don't think we brought up, or maybe we didn't, I forgot. Maybe I drank too much cannabis water. did we bring up the whole Hassan Reddick thing? The front office kind of said, okay, we're allowing you to seek out your own trade. And then he comes out, he's like, dude, no. I want to play here. I want to stay here. I want to finish my career here. I want an extension. That was kind of weird. I'm like, wow, I think that was Howie kind of putting that shit out there.
That just happened yesterday, right? I heard a little bit.
Over the last few days, say week or so.
So why would they put that out there if the guy didn't put that?
Think about it. Follow the money trail. I mean, Howie's probably thinking, well, he's about to hit 30. The top pass rusher in this league, a.k.a. Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett, they're making anywhere between 27 and 30 mil per. Hassan Reich's about to hit 30, last year of his deal. We have to re-sign Devontae Smith and give him a new contract. He's going to get 25 per, just like A.J. Brown. So maybe Howie's on the PR and saying, hey, listen, let's get ahead of it and put it out and almost make it look like it's his fault, like he wants out, so the fans will be mad at him. So we're granting you permission to seek a trade. And then Hassan, he was like, no, wait up. Fuck that. I'm not looking for a trade. I want to stay here. So I love that he did that. He called Howie out. He's like, he outsnaked the snake.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So I'll be honest. I hope they bring him back. The guy is a class act, class act in every way, shape, and form in his community, in the league. I mean, the guy is truly a class act. Howie, stop fucking around and playing all this weird bullshit. Get the kid signed. I know he's 29. You don't like signing 30-year-olds. Figure out a way to get him in here. I know, don't give him 25 to 30, but work it out. The fans love him. He's a team guy. And, dude, he gets double-digit sacks every year. Our pass rush fucking sucks besides him. Josh Sweat, I love you, kid, but I need more out of you. You're in the last year of your deal. Brandon Graham, maybe one of my favorite Eagles ever with Kelsey and Dawkins. He's not going to give you much anymore. You have a Hassan Reddick. He's the only guy that gets to the fucking quarterback. Get this guy extended.
We got it, Ricky. We got you, buddy. Anything else you want to talk about, Dave?
He covered it.
Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I hope to get you back again, man. Awesome time, dude. Thank you.
All right. You got it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Dieter.
All right. Have a good night, guys. See you.